I'd lived my whole life in the small, idyllic farming town of Harvest Hill, where the annual pumpkin festival is more than just an event. It's a cherished tradition that brings the entire community together. Every fall, the townsfolk gather in the town square, surrounded by the glowing red and yellow of fall leaves, to celebrate the season's bounty and to compete for the coveted title of the largest pumpkin. For years, I had dreamed of winning that prize, but this year my hopes were higher than ever. Nestled at the edge of town, my modest farmhouse is surrounded by meticulously tended gardens. Each morning I wake at dawn, don my gardening gloves, and tend to my plants with the care and precision of a master craftsman. This year, my pride and joy was a massive pumpkin that I'd nurtured from a tiny seedling into a colossal gourd. It sat in the center of my garden, its vibrant orange skin gleaming in the sunlight, and I couldn't help but feel a surge of pride every time I looked at it. However, there was one garden in Harvest Hill that always caught my eye with a mix of curiosity and unease. Old Farmer Joe's. His property just next door to mine was shrouded in mystery. The garden was overgrown and wild, yet his pumpkins always seemed to grow bigger and healthier than anyone else's. Joe was a reclusive, eccentric man who rarely spoke to anyone, and when he did, his words were often cryptic and unsettling. The townspeople often gossiped that he held secrets, old and dark. But of course, this was all wild speculation, and no one knew anything for sure. As the days grew shorter and the festival drew near, I found myself working tirelessly in my garden, determined to finally outdo Joe and claim the grand prize. The townsfolk noticed my dedication and would often stop by to admire my giant pumpkin, offering words of encouragement and praise. The excitement was tangible, and for the first time, I felt that victory was within my grasp. The day of the festival arrived with a crisp chill in the air. We were in the midst of fall, and the town square was alive with activity, filled with stalls selling homemade pies, caramel apples, and other seasonal treats. Children ran around in costumes, laughing and playing, while adults admired the various pumpkins on display. My pumpkin, transported with great care, sat proudly among the contenders, drawing gasps of admiration from the crowd. As the judges made their rounds, carefully inspecting each entry, I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. When they finally reached my pumpkin, their eyes widened in surprise, and I saw them exchange impressed glances. After what felt like an eternity, they announced the winner. My pumpkin had claimed the top prize. The crowd erupted in applause as I stepped forward to accept the trophy. My fellow townsfolk clapped me on the back and congratulated me, their faces beaming with genuine happiness. Amid the celebration, Old Farmer Joe approached me. His weathered face broke into a rare smile as he shook my hand, his grip firm and uncomfortably tight. "Congratulations," he said, his voice gravelly and low. "You've done well this year, but remember, there's always a secret to true growth." His strange words lingered in my mind long after the festivities had ended and the crowd had dispersed. As I stood alone in my garden that evening, gazing at the enormous pumpkin that had brought me such joy, a strange sense of unease began to creep in. What did Joe mean by a secret? And why did his smile seem more like a warning than a congratulation? Little did I know, the answer to those questions would soon turn the essence of my existence upside down, revealing a dark secret that lay hidden beneath the fertile soil of Harvest Hill. My first night after the festival, I experienced fitful sleep and unsettling dreams. I kept waking up to the image of Old Farmer Joe's cryptic smile and the ominous tone in his voice. By the first light of the morning, all the elation I'd felt in victory had faded, replaced by a gnawing curiosity about Old Joe's parting words. I was determined to get to the bottom of it, so I decided to pay Joe a visit. Under the guise of thanking him for his congratulations, I approached his property, feeling apprehensive, yet determined to find out what he meant. His garden, as always, was an overgrown mess of vines and leaves, with enormous pumpkins peeking out from the undergrowth. The sheer size of his produce, even larger than mine, seemed almost unnatural. I found Joe in the back, hunched over a patch of particularly large pumpkins. He straightened up as I approached, wiping his hands on his worn overalls. "Morning, Joe," I called out, trying my best to sound casual. "I just wanted to thank you for your kind words yesterday." Joe looked up, his eyes sharp and piercing despite his age. "Oh, you're welcome," he said slowly, as if measuring each word. "You know, your pumpkin was truly impressive. What brings you over here?" Taking a deep breath, I decided to broach the subject directly. "Well, I couldn't stop thinking about what you said about the secret to true growth. What did you mean by that?" For a moment, Joe said nothing, and then he motioned for me to follow him. We walked through his garden, the dense foliage brushing against us, until we reached an old, decrepit shed. Joe pushed open the door, revealing a cluttered space filled with gardening tools, jars of strange substances, and dusty old books. "You know, curiosity can be a dangerous thing," he said, rummaging through a pile of papers. "But since you've come this far, I suppose you deserve to know." He handed me an ancient leather-bound book, its pages yellowed with age. "This," he said, "is a grimoire of sorts. It's been passed down through my family for generations. It contains knowledge that most would deem unnatural." I opened the book, my eyes scanning the strange symbols and diagrams that filled its pages. There were detailed instructions on rituals, strange ingredients, and dark incantations. My heart then raced as I realized the implication of what I was looking at. Is this magic?" I asked, my voice barely above a whisper. Joe nodded. "Well, not the kind you read about in fairy tales, but something much older and darker. It's a form of alchemy, using the natural world to bend nature to your will. My pumpkins thrive because of these rituals, but they come at a cost." "Well, what's the cost?" I asked, feeling a chill run down my spine. Joe's expression grew grave. "The soil here is enriched with more than just nutrients. It requires sacrifices. Animal blood, bones, and sometimes other things. The magic demands a balance." I stared at him in disbelief, the weight of his words sinking in. "And my pumpkin? How did it grow so large?" Joe sighed. "I saw your dedication and wanted to help. So I enhanced your soil when you weren't looking. I thought it was harmless, a way to give you a taste of success, but I fear I may have set something in motion." My mind reeled with the implications. My prize-winning pumpkin, the source of my pride and joy, was the result of dark, unnatural forces. The sense of accomplishment I had felt now seemed hollow and tainted. After I left Joe's garden, clutching the book tightly, I couldn't shake the feeling that I had crossed a line. The vibrant orange of my pumpkin now seemed sinister, and the whispers of the town took on a more menacing tone. The once beloved Harvest Hill was now shrouded in a shadow of ancient secrets and dark magic, and I was the center of it all. The true horror of my situation was beginning to unfold, and I knew that uncovering the full extent of Joe's secrets would come with a price, a price that I might not be willing to pay. The days following old Farmer Joe's revelation were filled with dread, but also undeniable fascination. I couldn't bring myself to destroy the book he had given me. Instead, I spent hours poring over its ancient pages, trying to understand the arcane rituals and nature of the dark forces at work. The more I read, the more I realized how deep and dangerous the magic was. As I delved deeper into it, I noticed strange changes in my garden. Other plants began to grow at an alarming rate, their leaves larger and more vibrant than ever before. The soil, once rich and loamy, took on a darker hue and a peculiar smell. The once comforting sounds of nature were now accompanied by eerie whispers and rustling noises that seemed to emanate from the very ground. Despite my growing unease, I continued to seek Joe's guidance, hoping to find a way to undo what had been done. Our conversations were increasingly bizarre. Joe spoke in riddles, his eyes often glazing over, as if he were communicating with something unseen. He mentioned ancient spirits of the harvest, entities that demanded offerings in exchange for the gifts. "You've tapped into something old and powerful," Joe said one evening as we stood by the garden fence. The spirits are pleased, but they are never satisfied for long. They will demand more. Well, what do you mean by more? I asked, a sense of dread curling in my stomach. Joe's face then darkened. The rituals require a balance. You must give back to the earth what you take. The larger the bounty, the greater the sacrifice. That night, I awoke to strange noises outside my window. Peering into the darkness, I saw shadows moving in the garden, shifting and twisting in unnatural ways. The air was thick with the scent of damp earth and decay. I then grabbed a flashlight and ventured outside, my heart pounding in my chest. As I approached the center of the garden, the light illuminated a horrifying sight. Small animals, rabbits, birds, and even a stray cat, lay dead among the plants, their bodies seemingly drained of life. The vines of the giant pumpkin had grown thicker, their tendrils wrapping around the lifeless creatures as if drawing in nourishment from them. The pumpkin, which I'd severed from its roots to take it to the festival, was now reattached to the ground. Panic started to set in, and I realized that whatever magic had been used was spiraling out of control. I needed answers, and I needed them fast. Desperate for a solution, I visited the town library to research the history of Harvest Hill and its connection to old Farmer Joe's family. The librarian, an elderly woman with a wealth of knowledge about the town's past, led me to a dusty archive filled with old newspapers and records. As I sifted through the yellowed pages, I uncovered stories of mysterious disappearances and unexplained phenomena dating back generations. Each incident seemed to coincide with particularly bountiful harvests at Joe's property. One article detailed the sudden disappearance of a young girl during a pumpkin festival many years ago, hinting at foul play but never proving anything. The deeper I dug, the more I realized that Joe's family had long been rumored to practice dark rituals. The townsfolk, though wary, had always turned a blind eye to the prosperity the harvest brought. Back at home, I began to experience vivid nightmares. I dreamt of being buried alive, of roots and vines slowly constricting around my body, pulling me deeper into the earth. Each morning I awoke drenched in sweat, the images lingering in my mind. Sarah, my wife, noticed the change in me. "You've been acting strange," she said one morning, her eyes filled with concern. "What's going on?" I couldn't bring myself to tell her the full truth. It's just stress from the festival," I lied, trying to sound convincing. But Sarah wasn't the only one who noticed. Neighbors began to comment on the unusual growth in my garden, their curiosity tinged with suspicion. I could see the unease in their eyes, the way they whispered when they thought I wasn't listening. Determined to find a way to reverse the magic, I began documenting everything. I took photos of the garden, recorded the strange noises, and even collected samples of the soil. My collection of evidence grew, but so did my paranoia. I felt like I was being watched, not just by Joe, but by something else. Something ancient. Something malevolent. One night, while reviewing the footage from my garden camera, I saw a shadowy figure lurking near the pumpkin patch. It wasn't Joe. The figure was tall and lean, dressed in dark clothing, and moved with a stealthy purpose. My blood ran cold as I realized the figure was performing a ritual, chanting words I couldn't understand. The next morning, I found the pumpkin even larger, its vines more aggressive. In a moment of clarity, I confronted Joe one last time. "I've seen the rituals. I know what you've done," I said, my voice trembling with anger and fear. "Tell me how to stop it." Joe sighed, his shoulders slumping as if carrying the weight of centuries. "You can't stop it," he said, his voice barely a whisper. "The spirits are already here. The only way to appease them is with a greater sacrifice." "What kind of sacrifice?" I demanded, my mind racing through the possibilities. Joe looked at me with a mix of pity and resignation. "You know what kind," he said. "Blood for growth. Life for life." As his words sank in, I realized the true horror of my situation. The price of my success was far greater than I could have ever imagined, and the darkness I had unleashed was now beyond my control. The situation reached a horrifying turning point on a cold, moonless night. The ghostly quiet of the garden was shattered by an unsettling noise. a low hum that seemed to resonate from the very earth itself. Unable to sleep, I decided to investigate, clutching the book tightly and armed with a flashlight. As I stepped into the garden, the hum grew louder, vibrating through the ground and into my bones. The flashlight beam cut through the darkness, illuminating the twisted vines of my giant pumpkin, which now seemed almost sentient, writhing and pulsing, as if alive. My heart pounded as I moved closer, the sense of impending doom thick in the air. Suddenly I saw it, an area of disturbed soil near the pumpkin, freshly turned and dark with moisture. Kneeling down, I used my hands to brush away the loose dirt, uncovering something that shook me to my core. Beneath the soil were the remains of small animals, their bodies contorted in unnatural ways. Among them, a human hand protruded, the flesh pale and lifeless. A wave of nausea swept over me as I realized the full extent of the horror. This was no longer just about a giant pumpkin or an eccentric neighbor. The garden had become a graveyard, and the dark magic I had unknowingly nurtured now demanded human lives as its true price. Desperate for answers, I turned to the book, flipping through the pages with shaking hands. The ancient text described a ritual of appeasement, a way to communicate with the spirits of the harvest. The instructions were clear but chilling. A sacrifice was needed to stop the dark forces, one that matched the scale of the magic used. Fueled by feelings of both fear and purpose, I stormed over to Joe's house, the book clutched in my hand. He met me at the door, his expression one of grim understanding. "I found the bodies, Joe," I said, my voice trembling with a mix of anger and horror. "How do I stop this?" Joe sighed, his face etched with lines of regret and sorrow. "I warned you about the cost. The spirits demand a balance. The greater the gift, the greater the sacrifice." "I understand that, but I need to know how to end it," I demanded, desperation creeping into my voice. Joe led me to his cluttered shed once more. From a hidden compartment, he retrieved a small, intricately carved wooden box. Opening it, he revealed a ceremonial dagger and a piece of parchment covered in ancient runes. "This is the ritual of severance," he explained. "It's the only way to break the bond with the spirits, but it requires a life for a life." My heart sank as I realized the implications. The life of someone I loved would have to be sacrificed to undo the dark magic that had taken hold of my garden. The weight of this knowledge bore down on me like a crushing force. Returning home, I found Sarah waiting for me, her eyes filled with concern. "What's going on? You've been so distant in the garden. It feels off." Torn between the need to protect her and the truth of what I had discovered, I decided to tell her everything. As I recounted the dark history of old Farmer Joe's magic and the horrific revelation in the garden, Sarah's face paled. "We need to leave," she said urgently. "We can't stay here anymore. It's too dangerous." But I knew running wasn't going to solve this problem. The spirits were bound to the land, and they wouldn't let us escape so easily. The only way to free ourselves was to complete the ritual. In the days that followed, the garden's transformation accelerated. The giant pumpkin grew even larger, its vines spreading like a cancer across the property, suffocating everything in their path. The eerie hum became a constant presence, a sinister reminder of the dark forces at play. As the situation grew more dire, I spent hours each day in the library, seeking any alternative to the ritual of severance. One evening, as the sun set behind the hills, casting long shadows across the town, I stumbled upon an old, forgotten diary tucked away in the archives. The diary belonged to a woman named Margaret, who had lived in Harvest Hill over a century ago. Her entries detailed her own encounters with the dark magic and the spirits of the harvest. In her final entry, she wrote of a similar situation, describing the unbearable choice she had to make to protect her family. "My husband's life was the price I paid," Margaret wrote, "but the spirits are never truly satisfied. They always return, hungry for more. The cycle must be broken, or it will continue forever." With a sinking heart, I realized the full horror of what Joe had been trying to tell me. The ritual of the severance might only be a temporary solution. The spirit's hunger could not be sated for long, and the dark magic would eventually return, demanding new sacrifices. Standing in my garden that night, surrounded by the monstrous vines and the eerie hum, I felt the weight of an impossible decision. The midpoint of my journey had revealed the true nature of the darkness I faced, and the path ahead was fraught with danger and sacrifice. In the distance, old Farmer Joe's house stood in shadow, a silent witness to the legacy of the dark magic. As I stared at the giant pumpkin, its surface pulsating with a malevolent life, I knew that the hardest part of my ordeal was yet to come. The night of the final confrontation arrived, shrouded in an unnatural darkness that seemed to swallow all light. The air was heavy with the scent of decaying leaves and the pervasive hum of the restless spirits. The giant pumpkin, now a monstrous, grotesque behemoth, dominated the garden, its vines twisting and writhing with a life of their own. Desperate to end the nightmare, I gathered the necessary items for the ritual of severance. The ceremonial dagger, the ancient parchment, and a vial of my own blood. Each item felt like a lead weight in my hands, the significance of what I was about to do pressing down on me. Sarah stood by my side, her face pale but resolute. She had insisted on being there, despite my attempts to protect her, from the full horror of the situation. Her presence gave me strength, but also deepened my fear of what might come. "Are you sure about this?" she asked, her voice trembling slightly. I nodded, unable to speak past the lump in my throat. The decision had been made, and there was no turning back. Together we walked to the heart of the garden, where the monstrous pumpkin loomed. I knelt before the pumpkin, spreading the parchment on the ground and placing the dagger and vial beside it. With a deep breath, I began to chant the incantation from the book, my voice shaking but gaining strength as I went on. The words felt foreign and ancient, resonating with a power that made the air around us vibrate. The vines reacted almost immediately, writhing more violently, as if sensing the impending threat. The hum grew louder, filling my ears and making it difficult to concentrate. I took the vial of blood and poured it onto the parchment, watching as the dark liquid seeped into the ancient runes, making them glow with an eerie light. As I continued the chant, I felt the presence growing stronger, an unseen force that seemed to watch and judge my every move. The final part of the ritual required the sacrifice of a life, one that had been touched by the dark magic. I had hoped that the animal sacrifices Joe had made would be enough, but deep down, I knew that it wasn't. Tears streamed down my face as I raised the dagger. I turned to Sarah, her eyes wide with fear and understanding. "I'm so sorry," I whispered, my voice breaking. Before I could act, a powerful force knocked me to the ground, the dagger flying from my hand. The vine surged forward, wrapping around Sarah and lifting her into the air. She screamed, struggling against the crushing grip of the tendrils. I shouted, scrambling to my feet and grabbing the dagger. I slashed at the vines, but more took their place, pulling Sarah towards the monstrous pumpkin. Desperation fueled my actions as I hacked and cut, my hands slick with blood from the thorny tendrils. Suddenly, old Farmer Joe appeared, his face a mask of determination and sorrow. "This here is my doing," he said, his voice barely audible over the noise. "Now I need to set it right." With a swift motion, he took the dagger from my hand and plunged it into his own chest. The vines recoiled, releasing Sarah and retracting towards the pumpkin. Joe fell to the ground, blood pooling around him as he chanted the final words of the ritual. The air crackled with energy as the ground trembled beneath our feet. The giant pumpkin began to wither, its vibrant orange fading into a sickly brown. The vine shriveled and turned to dust, releasing a cloud of dark, acrid smoke. The hum intensified, reaching a deafening crescendo, before abruptly stopping. Joe's body lay still, his sacrifice complete. The garden fell silent, the oppressive weight lifting as the dark magic dissipated. The spirits, momentarily appeased by Joe's selfless act, retreated into the earth, their hunger sated for now. Sarah and I stood in stunned silence, the horror of what had just happened slowly sinking in. The garden, once a source of pride and joy, was now a barren wasteland, the remnants of the dark magic, leaving an indelible mark. We buried Joe right there, next to his monstrous pumpkin, marking his grave with a simple stone. His sacrifice had saved us, but the cost had been immeasurable. As we left the garden, I couldn't shake the feeling that the spirits were still watching, waiting for the next opportunity. The climax of our ordeal had revealed the true price of tampering with forces beyond our understanding. The darkness that had taken root in Harvest Hill was not so easily vanquished, and the memory of that fateful night would haunt us forever. The ultimate confrontation had ended, but the scars it left behind would remain, a chilling reminder of the danger that lurked beneath the surface of our once idyllic town. The days following were a blur of exhaustion and grief. The garden, once the pride of my efforts, was now a desolate patch of scorched earth and withered plants. The giant pumpkin had collapsed into a decaying heap, its vibrant orange hue now a sickly brown. The oppressive atmosphere that had hung over our home seemed to dissipate, leaving a profound silence in its wake. Sarah and I struggled to come to terms with the events that had transpired. We moved through our daily routines in a daze, haunted by the memories of that fateful night. Old Farmer Joe's sacrifice had saved us, but the price had been high, and the weight of guilt and sorrow was overwhelming. News of the bizarre occurrences spread quickly through Harvest Hill. The townspeople, initially skeptical, became increasingly curious and wary. They whispered about the giant pumpkin, the strange lights, and the eerie hum that had emanated from our property. Joe's sudden death added to the sense of mystery and fear that gripped the town. One afternoon, the town council paid us a visit. They stood in our barren garden, their faces a mixture of disbelief and concern. "What happened here?" asked Mayor Thompson, his voice filled with apprehension. I hesitated, unsure of how much to reveal. "There was an incident," I said slowly. "Old Farmer Joe tried to help us, but things got out of control. He sacrificed himself to stop it." The council members exchanged uneasy glances. "We've heard rumors about Joe and his family," said Mrs. Henderson, the town librarian. "Very dark rumors. Do you know if there's any truth to them?" I nodded reluctantly. Joe had a knowledge of ancient rituals, a kind of dark magic. It's what caused the giant pumpkin to grow so large. But it came with a price. The council members fell silent, absorbing the gravity of my words. "We need to ensure this never happens again," said Mayor Thompson finally. "This town must be protected." Sarah and I knew we couldn't stay in Harvest Hill. The memories were too painful, the whispers too loud. We later decided to sell our property and move to a neighboring town, hoping to find a fresh start away from the darkness that had consumed our lives. As we packed our belongings, I couldn't help but feel a lingering unease. The book, now hidden away in a locked chest, seemed to call to me, its pages filled with secrets I could never unlearn. I debated whether to destroy it, but something held me back, the fear that the knowledge within might be needed again. On our last day in Harvest Hill, Sarah and I visited Joe's grave. We placed a small bouquet of wildflowers on the simple stone marker, a silent thank you. The air was still, the oppressive presence of the spirits gone, but I couldn't shake the feeling that they were not entirely vanquished. Harvest Hill took measures to prevent a recurrence of the magic. The town council declared Joe's property off-limits, eventually bulldozing the decrepit shed and covering the garden with fresh soil. They held a town meeting to discuss the strange events, urging residents to remain vigilant and to report any unusual occurrences. Over time, the town slowly returned to normal, but the memory of the giant pumpkin and the dark rituals lingered. Stories and legends grew around the events, becoming a cautionary tale passed down through generations. Harvest Hill would never forget the price of tampering with forces beyond their own understanding. In our new town, Sarah and I worked hard to rebuild our lives. The shadow of Harvest Hill loomed over us, but we found solace in each other's company and the fresh start we had created. We planted a small garden, careful to use only natural methods, and watched as it flourished without the taint of dark magic. But the past was never far behind. I kept the book hidden, a reminder of the danger that knowledge could bring. Late at night, when the world was quiet, I would sometimes hear the faint hum of the spirits in my dreams, a chilling reminder of the darkness that still lurked beneath the surface. Our new life was a testament to resilience and the power of love, but it was also a constant struggle to keep the shadows at bay. The events in Harvest Hill had changed us forever, leaving scars that would never fully heal. In the end, we learned to live with it. We learned to live with the memory, finding strength in our shared experiences and the hope that we could prevent such horrors from ever happening again. This part of our story was a quiet one, marked by the slow but steady process of healing and the enduring reminder of the price we had paid for our brush with darkness. Years passed on, and Sarah and I slowly built a peaceful life in our new town. The horrors of Harvest Hill faded into distant memories, although the scars remained. We had a child, a bright and curious boy named Tommy, who brought joy and light into our lives. Our small garden flourished naturally, free from any influences. One crisp fall evening, as we were putting Tommy to bed, he handed me a small carved wooden box he had found while playing in the attic. My heart skipped a beat when I saw it. It was the same intricate design as the box Joe had used to store the ceremonial dagger. "Dad, look what I found," Tommy said, his eyes wide with excitement. "It's full of old papers." With trembling hands, I opened the box, and inside were several yellowed pieces of parchment, covered in familiar runes, and a small vial of dark, dried liquid. My breath caught in my throat as I realized what it was. The remnants of the book and the tools for dark rituals. Late that night, after Sarah and Tommy were asleep, I sat alone at the kitchen table, the contents of the box spread before me. My mind raced as I tried to understand how these items had followed us. Had the spirits somehow transferred their connection to our new home? Or had the dark magic never truly left? As I studied the parchments, a familiar hum began to fill the air, soft at first, then growing louder. My heart pounded in my chest as I realized the horrifying truth. They had found us, and they were growing restless once again. Suddenly, a shadow flickered across the kitchen, and the air grew icy cold. I turned, expecting to see some ghastly apparition, but instead there was nothing. The hum, however, persisted, a constant reminder of the darkness. It was just out of sight. Unable to ignore the growing sense of dread, I knew I had to act. I retrieved the hidden book and compared it to the new parchments, hoping to find a way to protect my family. As I read, it became clear that the spirits were not simply satisfied with the occasional sacrifice. They sought to bind themselves permanently to a powerful source of life, such as a child. Panic surged through me as I realized their target was Tommy. Desperate to shield him from the impending danger, I decided to confront the spirits directly. I returned to the garden, now bathed in the eerie glow of the full moon, clutching the book and the ceremonial items. Standing in the center of the garden, I began to chant the incantations from the book, calling forth the spirits. The ground trembled beneath my feet, and the air grew thick with a palpable energy. The vines around the garden began to stir, twisting and curling as if awakened by my words. A shadowy figure emerged from the darkness, its form shifting and indistinct. It was the same figure I had seen in the garden all those years ago, the entity that had fed on the sacrifices. It spoke in a voice that seemed to echo from the depths of the earth. "You have summoned us," it intoned, its eyes glowing with an otherworldly light. "What is it that you seek?" "You need to release my family. You've taken enough. Let us live in peace." The figure laughed, a cold, hollow sound. "The bond is not so easily broken. A life for a life, remember. But there are other ways to appease us." Desperately, I offered to take the place of my son. Take me, I pleaded. Just leave my family alone. The spirit considered my offer, its eyes narrowing. A noble sacrifice. But we require something more. Your life alone is not enough. You must bind your bloodline to us, ensuring that our connection endures. The full weight of the spirit's demand crashed down on me. Binding my bloodline meant condemning future generations to the same darkness I had tried so hard to escape. But there was no other way to protect Tommy and ensure his immediate safety. With a heavy heart, I finally agreed. I will bind my bloodline to you, but spare my son and allow us to live in peace for as long as we can. The spirit's eyes now gleamed with satisfaction. So be it. Seal the pact. And it extended a shadowy hand. With trembling hands, I used the ceremonial dagger to cut my palm, letting the blood drip onto the ancient parchment. The runes glowed bright red and the hum intensified, resonating through the garden and into the night. As the ritual concluded, the shadowy figure dissipated and the garden fell silent once more. The oppressive presence lifted, leaving me drained but relieved. I returned to the house where Sarah and Tommy slept soundly, unaware of the pact that had been made. The next morning, I buried the book and the ceremonial items deep in the forest, far from our home. The garden slowly returned to its natural state, free from the monstrous growths and eerie hum. Life continued, seemingly peaceful, but I could never forget what I had done. Years later, as I watched Tommy grow into a bright and inquisitive young man, I couldn't help but feel a pang of dread. The spirit's hunger had been sated for now, but the pact I had made would hang over our family like a dark cloud, a chilling reminder of the darkness that lurked just beneath. In the quietest moments, when the wind rustled through the trees or the moon cast long shadows across the yard, I could still hear the faint, sinister hum, a reminder that the spirits were always watching, waiting for the next chapter of our bloodline to unfold.